CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com, Wednesday morning, just after 7 o'clock. I hope your day's off to an awesome start. We're here to look after you, keep you company, and fill you in with the important information. Well, Theresa May is in South Africa, and she was caught on film dancing by ENCA. I don't know why ENCA are following her around like this. I would be worried if I were her to have ENCA trailing me, but there she is, and she was caught dancing. But I mean, you could only really call it dancing if all real dancing was extirpated from the earth.
But this is just...
No, Jesus, it's bad. I mean, she looks like... It honestly looks like a giraffe going down to drink.
But this is just the thing about life, though, right? So as whites are forced to dance, and we just feel so obliged to do it. Like, when you go to, like, a corporate function or whatever, and there's a dance floor, and the CEO is obliged to then open the dance floor. It is a car crash of note.
What happens?
Oh, it's just limbs, and like rhythm basically goes back 10 years. But then, and everyone's like, "Yay! Oh, what a legend!" And I was like, "Please, this is like worse than the drunkle at a wedding."
And when you get a white person that can, air quotes, dance, it's because they've been trained in like river dance as a child. Yeah. Like, it's never like I could just bust out some moves. It's right. Like, oh, look at me. And then like some recital of some sort of obscure form of really not that hip dancing.
This kind of music.
Okay, then I can dance, but you made things worse by being able to dance. And also, white people should never be allowed to high five. Always goes appallingly badly.
No, I'm not relinquishing that as well. I can get it. Look, the power of dance must be amazing. I often feel inspired to break into, but you know, it's not going to work. Don't you dare take a high five.
Anytime I'll dance is when I'm very, very drunk, because I know that the other people are very, very drunk and they won't mind.
Somebody's argument for me once why it was ridiculous to say white people shouldn't high five was because all you got to do is know the technique. If you just look at the person's elbow, I'm like, dude, you need a scientific formula to help you get a high five more or less right. It's always the most awkward thing in the world, man.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, and this is where white people make life difficult for themselves, they don't know what the formula is. So suddenly, you've got to have a bro hug on a high five nowadays. I mean, who started that?
Yeah,
why?
Nono wants to add some intelligence for us here.
I just want to say that this stereotype needs to end, that black people can dance.
No, that white people can't is
yes,
what we're
yes,
saying.
Yes, but I mean, when
I know loads of black people who can't either.
You know, when you're black, you're expected to have rhythm and stuff, and I cannot dance to save my life.
Really,
when
you can't?
Dance, no, I get told to stop.
Oh my god.
The minute I start, so yeah.
There's someone else in the studio has been told to stop dancing before.
Nah, don't look this way.
There will always be we're looking at law when creating stereotypes. One is looking for to go law of averages. Like you get like four really good white NBA players.
Yeah, sure.
But they're not in the majority.
Like you might find one really great Indian rugby player one day.
Yes. They're also probably somewhere in the top 100 breakdancers is an white person.
Yes.
But
that's why stereotypes are funny. And I want to draw a distinction. I hate to be serious for a second, but there is a big difference between a funny stereotype and a racist trope.
Yes.
You know, like obviously the two are different, and saying that white people can't dance is not us being racist about white people, because you need to, unfortunately we live in 2018 where everyone on the internet thinks that they are the purveyor of morality and virtuosity and virtue rather than virtuosity. So you have to state the obvious.
Yeah. My thing is, are you trying to humiliate anyone in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to demean their social standing to be less than what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to take away rights from them or prevent rights from being given to them?
Mm-hmm.
And are you trying to do damage to their ability to live a happy life? So, like, no.
And if the answer to any of those things is yes, don't do it.
Yeah. If us saying that there are very few Indian rugby players is going to make the, like, Indian community's quest for equality set it back 15 years, then we should probably apologize. If it's just funny, then...
And if Nolo is the only person in the entire black world that can't dance, then you got to think about maybe throwing her out. You know?
Yeah. Sorry,
you can give her to me. I'm quite happy with that.
Take her
bored.
Into...
Sheep is good.
They throw her out. Only if that she's not wanted.
Fraud. What the Nola, is Harvey Weinstein Nola,
I'm looking
is going
to welcome.
Nola, Nola breaks a lot of stereotypes. She and Gord both listen to metal music together.
Oh,
and,
yes, we do.
She smokes a vape, which is kind of, you know, we're straying into Renegade Report territory then.
Yeah,
that's like
hipster. We're losing you. We're losing you.
You
anyway,
lost me a long time ago.
All right, we've got quite a lot to get through today news-wise, and there's a very interesting guest coming to join us in a while, and I'll tell you why I think this guest is interesting so that you can make your own decision. His name is Ntutu Koshezi. He's the founder and CEO of a company called Livestock Wealth. Now, this is amazing because he invented an app and a business around that app that allows you to buy and sell cattle, to do lobola payments, and a whole lot of things that takes some very useful traditional and cultural aspects of life in South Africa and turns them into a 21st century commercial property. I think that's pretty damn clever.
Yeah.
He's not reinventing the wheel. He's building a spaceship. It's very
metaphorically speaking.
Oh. Yeah, I think this is very interesting. So, yeah, you can hear his story from his own mouth in a moment or two. Ntutu Koshezi. There's also a lot of news that we need to get through. I've got a Michael Jackson impersonator I want to play for you. Tell me if you think he's any good.
So not one that does the dance.
No, the sound.
Yeah.
Just the sound.
Well, there's an interesting story around that. So, yeah.
Interesting story on the internet.
Internet.
Oh. Oh. Guys.
There's this Durban accent coming through.
I'm guilty.
Have you guilty?
I'm have so you, guilty of I'm my guilty. Accent. I'm sorry.
Have you watched the trailer for the Happy Time Murders yet?
Yes.
All right. It is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic genius of Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale.
No Sesame, All Street.
That's right. A puppet cast of 80s children's TV show characters starts to be murdered one by one. It's hard to feel sorry for a puppet, but in this in this movie they literally blast the puppets away with guns. Theresa May is dancing again. Oh, holy mother of God. Someone's going to stop her.
She can't stop now. She started.
Oh, look at it.
Oh, that is so bad. It's like it looks like it physically hurts her. Like a vampire going outside in the sun.
Did you just refer to her as it?
That's so shit.
She's got one foot moving back and forth.
Guys, she's trying.
She's planted on both feet, and then the left leg is planted, and the right leg is going step forward, step back, step forward, step back, and then just arms up and down.
Go, Teresa. It's your birthday.
Teresa may not. All right.
I have to say, I don't mind that. I don't mind when I see someone trying to dance and join in on the fun.
All right. Let's leave the poor woman. She's trying to flee Brexit. Let her alone. She might just bring us some international trade and investment, and for that reason we should be grateful. There is a big trade and investment conference going on in Cape Town. We'll tell you about that a little later on. It's in the news. But to go back for a moment to the Happy Time Murders, it all premieres in South African cinemas this Friday, the 31st of August, and you can see it. That's right. It's called The Happy Time Murders. Put it in your diary and go and get tickets ASAP so that you can be in the front row to see it live on the premiere day, which is the 31st, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Always got to take notes when we talk about movies. We premiered The Equalizer 2 last week.
Right.
And it was number one in the South African box office over the weekend. So.
See, that's what we do.
I'm not saying nothing, but I'm just saying.
Sia, tell us about this Michael Jackson impersonator.
Well, firstly, what a little coinkydink, because it's actually Michael Jackson's birthday today.
Oh!
Yeah.
Is that you getting happy?
That's me getting ill, Michael Jackson.
We spoke about it last week when Poppy was in, that he would have turned 60.
I turned 60 years old.
Oh, Michael Jackson. Hi, Mr. Jackson.
I love you. Thank you. I love you.
Well, Mr. Jackson, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I am very, very happy to be a part of your lives, even though I'm not alive.
Oh. And where are you exactly?
I am in heaven with God and angels and Jermaine. Oh, well, he's still alive.
Is it true
he's technically dead to all of us too, Michael?
I mean, Joseph. My father, he joined me the other day, and we get on very well in heaven. It's not like our relationship on earth.
Is it true that a lot of the angels are small children with wings and...
We like to play, and we go on the fun fair rides, and we have animals, and we play video games, and drink Jesus juice.
Oh, Jesus juice.
Yeah.
Wow.
The best.
Well,
what else do you want to know?
So, apart from chilling with your father, who else do you exactly get along with in heaven? Or who don't you get along with?
Everybody is friends. There is just love. Love and love and peace and love.
Wow.
It is a beautiful place. It is not filled with evil people who are investigating you for crimes against children.
And do you want, how would you like us to celebrate your birthday? You know, Madonna was trying to steal your spotlight. She also turned 60.
I would like you to forgive all the people who you hate and stop being hateful and spread love. And children deserve love and the adults deserve love. Everybody should be getting along. We should be friends. There's a place in your heart.
Wow,
and
thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Is love.
Oh. Wow.
This place, much brighter than tomorrow.
Thank you, Michael.
I like humorous impersonation Michael Jackson more than real life Michael
What do you
Jackson?
Mean, humorous impersonation? That was a real guy. We have a hotline to heaven. Haven't you heard all the dead people we speak to here?
I have. Yeah. Well, I know they were all real.
We're really fortunate.
Our domestic line's a bit sketchy at times.
But heaven, our heaven line is amazing.
You're amazing.
Yeah.
That's direct.
Great quality. All right, so... people love impersonators.
Yeah, so the entire backstory to this, though, is deeper than just a good old-fashioned impersonator. So there have been, I think, two Michael Jackson albums that have been released after his death, and with his record label, Sony Music, actually saying, oh no, these are all unreleased songs that Michael recorded before his death, and now we're releasing those. But it actually turns out his 2010 album, this is of course probably 2 or 3 years after his death, contains songs that didn't actually were not recorded by Michael, but who were decided amongst the Sony execs who said, well, listen, we still need to make money off this Michael Jackson character.
Yeah. So let's mine this gold vein.
They enlisted impersonators to record songs, and they put them on an album, and they said, oh, it's Michael. So actually...
so they've been lying to us.
I know. They've been lying,
no
and they've been
way.
Coining tons
they
of cash
other
around
people.
This.
No way.
But
yeah,
I have
see,
to
that
admit,
is cack
just
unethical.
When you thought the record companies couldn't be more slimy
Dude.
And sleazy than they had been in the 80s and 90s, they do this.
Because everything was good.
Because there
the
was
world,
like an
right?
album in the early 90s called The Spelling on the Stone, which was like ostensibly an Elvis album all about like how mysterious my life is, and the single was called The Spelling on the Stone because Elvis's name is spelled incorrectly on his tombstone, and apparently that was a request of the families. But the whole point of it was shrouded in mystery. It was isn't it, even the music itself was kind of about am I or aren't I, you know, am I have
was
I
it,
have I popped
fake?
In from fake death just to like remind my fans that I'm here. But well, I mean, I don't even remember if there was an outcome about it, but it was marketed as, you know, hey, like
could
anonymous artist,
yeah.
But it sounded damn Elvis-y.
That's my
but
thing with this one as well.
They didn't say like, hey, and it was. They didn't say it was an unreleased album of old Elvis tunes that never got released. And then someone was like, no, hang on, that's not Elvis. Now there's a conspiracy. Is it Elvis? Isn't it? They were like, is it? Isn't it? And that was the whole kind of, aside from being relatively good music, as I recall, if you like that sort of thing, it was. The whole point of it was, is it really him or not? To be like, for a record company to be doing that is ultra swack.
Well, here it is. Let's take a listen. This is supposedly Michael Jackson on a track called Monster with 50 Cent, but it isn't Michael Jackson. This is an impersonator. I'm already unhappy.
You can look at them coming out the walls. You can look at them climbing out the bushes. When the letter's about to fall, he be waiting with his camera on focus. Everywhere you seem to turn, there's a monster. When you look up in the air, there's a monster. Paparazzi got you scared like a monster.
See, I already hate it because I know it's not him.
But I have to
say,
but it might be.
I would not have been able to pick it up.
I don't know. I
if I didn't tell you the story and you just listened to this.
It's not Michael.
it sounds Michael enough to me.
Mm. Yeah, Michael enough, I think, is the key there.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on levels of Michaelness, but you could sell me that. You could convince me that that was Michael Jackson all day long.
All right, well, listen to this quickly. Special.
I'm going to look at the issue of whether or not this song Monster by Michael Jackson is actually Michael or a vocal impersonator.
There's a guy who's done a YouTube video about
this. By Michael Jackson's family and a lawsuit. Now,
all right.
The story about this song is that Michael allegedly recorded it in the basement of his friend's house, the Casios, close family friends of Michael, and that's pretty much why it doesn't sound great. This is what Sony said. They're like, well, you know,
because it doesn't sound good. I agree with this guy.
Okay, so it's pretty static throughout. Listen to how I believe
this guy breaks it down.
He,
man,
he is on top of this.
He's doing like a vocal investigative. This is deep. This guy's a producer who's gone to the trouble of doing this. His name is Ronan D.
What's actually interesting, if this guy's a producer, yeah, this entire story came to the light because of one super, super massive Michael Jackson fan whose name is Vera Sarova, mm-hmm, who was the one who actually said, nope, I know my Michael, and this is not Michael. So that's when the investigation started.
I don't want to claim too much here, but if you hadn't told me, I still would have been suspicious, because it doesn't, it's not, it hasn't got those high tops Michael had. You know, you've got high, medium, and low frequencies in a vocal range.
I'm a high.
No, you've got all three is the point. But Michael, this doesn't sound like Michael would break through the noise, you know? There's something about him that he had this very unique sound.
Listen to how this alleged Michael Jackson delivered it.
Yeah.
Hey, ask yourself, is that Michael?
No, this
would
not
he
enough
do
suffering.
Such a boring delivery?
Yeah.
Phone it in. Verse 2 I have problems with.
This guy's right. This guy's right. I'm telling you that I would never have been fooled if you'd asked me. If you put me in a studio, really good sound, I'm going to take the leap here and say if you didn't tell me, mm-hmm, I would know it wasn't really him.
You would have heard that on the radio, cold, out of the blocks, mm-hmm, first time you've ever heard it. DJ says in a crap radio voice,
that was Michael Jackson with
Michael Jackson's new song.
Guys, so there is something. Guys, actually, you're right. The more you listen, there's something special about the greats. Like, I was watching this Queen Live Aid performance yesterday on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something different about the voices of the greats.
Yes.
People always impersonate them, and you hear that so often. But when you actually hear the real after a while, you go, there's always that little thing. There's little something special about them. Because you almost feel like the person comes through there. Like you said, like Michael's, there's a sharpness to it. There's a different kind of something to it. There's the suffering from Joe coming through.
Yeah.
You can't teach Joe carrying bricks in a voice.
But if he was demoing it in a mate's basement because, hey, like he's visiting friends, he's got a tune stuck in his head. Because this happens to like musicians on all levels. Mm. You're like got a thing stuck in your head. You don't want to forget it. Someone's like, hey, lay it down on a tape recorder or on my like cheap little studio that I use for demos. I mean, I've heard like demos of a lot of bands that I like where you hear the demos that ultimately led to the final song. Mm-hmm. A band that I really like called Rise Against. Metallica, you can get a hold of lots of the demos that they've put down for songs that ultimately sounded like way more polished, way more like,
sure,
you know, it was just literally tuning. It's a guy just putting down.
You go into a studio and a producer is paid to make it sound
amazing.
A whole lot better than just the voice.
But if you just don't want to lose the idea.
Here's the idea. Like just Michael's voice, all right? I hate to, maybe you hate Michael Jackson, but I'm gonna bore you to death for another couple of minutes because this guy is worth spending the time on. Listen to this. So obviously you know this song. So you know the song Smooth Criminal, but listen to just the vocal track, right? Listen to this. They've taken out most of the instruments. Listen to when he starts singing.
Are you walking, Annie? Are you walking? Will you tell us that you're walking? At the sign of the window, that is up to a crescendo.
Yeah, what? That's, you can hear that's not a human voice. That's superhuman. I'm sorry. It's better than that. Let me play you Billie Jean, vocals only, all right?
Okay.
Taking out much of...
around. She told me her name was Billie Jean, and she caused a scene.
It's not perfect.
Yeah, turn with the ice to dream.
That's why it's brilliant. Ben, hit on this. Not perfect.
Who would dance on the floor and around. People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. And mother always told me, be careful who you love. And be careful what you do. Could the lie become the truth? Hey, the Billie Jean is not my love.
You hear that? That's not perfect. It's got pain in it. It's got, it's just amazing. There's something about it that is unique.
Well, there's
unique.
Like, there's like Seven Brothers' money on the back of him. Like, if he doesn't sing that song, no one eats in the family. And a person doesn't have those problems.
Even when he was a kid.
Yeah,
one, two, three,
kid.
Baby, you and me, girl.
Song rules. So
easy
much.
As one, yeah. Two, three. All simple as do, re, mi, A, B, C. One, two, three, baby, you and me, girl.
And then you remember the story I told you about how he was put in the studio and his dad. And Berry Gordy of Motown said to him, "You got to get this right." Mm-hmm. And what's the guy's name? The producer,
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones said, "You got to do it again and again and again." Like 100 times, they made him do this.
A broken bottle top and a one man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know. Cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one got to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
And so you reckon you would have picked up
I'm telling you.
Without anybody telling you there was a conspiracy mm-hmm. or that there was a controversy, you would have just heard that song on the radio mm-hmm. and gone, that ain't Michael.
That ain't him.
I don't know, man. You could sell me that as Michael all day long.
Yeah, I have to say I'm also that simple because it craps on my Christmas gift.
I'm
I
not
got
the only
that CD
someone
a few
else,
years ago.
Some big fan picked up on this and she or he was right. And that's how we know that it was bullshit.
Have they proven that it's bullshit or the record company
yes.
still sticking to their
record
story?
Record company admitted it.
Yeah. That it's not Michael.
Yeah.
There were three songs from particularly the 2010 album that they've now admitted are not recorded by Michael. The Monster song, which we played, there's
how
one called
you.
Keep Your Head Up and also another called Breaking News.
This is outrageous. Yeah. How can this even be a thing? Surely someone's got to go to jail. I don't know, man. They've got to punch someone in the dick. How does this just be a lot? Like, that's outrageous.
All of the above.
It
All
is outrageous. Yeah. All right, what else is in the news? Yeah. You want to bring something in here? Ben, what do you got?
Yeah, did you see yesterday on Twitter that VatBro was trending?
Who?
VatBro.
VatBro.
Well, look, I mean, again, this is indicative of society. So this guy, okay, I'm just going to really condense the story down to its bare basics here. Some guy gives a girl a ride home because she was drunk and couldn't get home. He then obviously thinks that now he's in there, he's going to get sex.
Jesus, no.
She then repels his advances, and now he loses his shit. Basically calling these people, this woman, like a basic bitch. Like she doesn't even know what VAT is because he's such a massive businessman. And then like it actually got filmed and it all went out on Twitter and VatBro started to trend. So this guy says he's got a 20 million rand business and he was saying things like, you know, blacks don't even have businesses and here I am with my 20 million rand business. You don't even know what VAT is and I'm this like this real big deal. But obviously it comes back to the point that it's this expectation that if guys think they do anything chivalrous, it's going to result in sex. And it's like making people feel inferior unless this is going to be the outcome.
Oy, oy, oy.
So naturally it trended because people were then relating similar stories. But like how much of a piece of shit have you got to be to think that you now have something over someone because you've done something decent?
Like, yeah, and so it's like chivalrous is one thing. It's kind of like, you know, that's a sort of... area for discussion on its own, but it's just being nice to someone, whether they're male or female, you know, like giving some helping someone get home when they're a little bit stranded. like possibly left behind by Gareth Cliff at a Plett Rage show in Margate, in Plett rather. But like you help somebody get home, it's like it's just helping somebody get home. Where in your mind is it like ways to get laid? You know, work on your six pack. You know,
try and be charming.
Get your be a bit charming. Tell good jokes. Listen at the dinner date and do a basic nice thing for someone. It's like you know. It's not like he'd taken her. It's not like there was any. It's not like it's a dynamic where there's any expectation it could lead to goonage. Like if you on your fourth date with someone and you've taken them on a romantic weekend away somewhere, and there's a subtext that they know you're romantically interested, and then obviously without forcing yourself in any way, but you know you don't get any kind of action. You have the right to be disappointed. Do you go say to your bros, "Hey, Urs, like gave this stranger who was drunk a lift home and didn't even get a blowjob," and they'd be like, "Wow, that's outrageous, bro! Like, oh, what a bitch!" It's like, where do people get these expectations to begin with?
Exactly.
How's that a courtship ritual?
But like, how about that for a diss? They didn't even know what that is. Like he said, like I took her bitch ass home.
Oh no!
And then she's gonna tell my ass, no.
Well, it's sad that you would think that vet. I mean, this is very.
Vet is. We've got a pen and everything.
Yeah, it's impoverished thinking. Everyone, dude, vet, bro. Everyone pays vet in South 15 Africa.
15% If you go buy a packet of chips right now, you're vet broing. Vet bro.
So vet bro, you are not special.
But you can tell what this guy thinks of himself.
A lot.
And how he defines himself and goes about in the world. Like, he thinks he's the biggest cheese.
He actually said, while at the bottom of the staircase, he said, "You know what the biggest? What's the biggest issue? Is that blacks don't have businesses."
Well, that's
a white dude, no, a black guy, and he said
that Sars, is just not true.
Sars doesn't give a fuck about her. Is just like a level of.
Once again, speaking to how he defines himself, saying like, "Oh my goodness, I am the Messiah. You should be so grateful. Look at me, 20 million rands. Oh, please." I wonder how old this guy is.
Probably 12 mentally.
Well, he's in his 20s. His name is Menzi Dladla.
I'll stick to that, Gareth. He's 12.
Look, he's mentally 12.
Yeah. He's obviously been named and shamed over social media. And everyone knows who he is and blah, 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 blah.
It's amazing, though, how many people define themselves by how much they have. You are going to be unhappy.
But it's quite an interesting thread to go through this because you see what society's issues are on a day-to-day basis. How some people were saying, like, this is the funniest thing when you encounter someone who's wealthy who doesn't care that and you don't care about their money. They don't know what to say anymore. It's like they're going to this cold sweat and flat panic because they don't believe they need any skills post that or any sort of, like, personal.
Well, it's like if you meet some really, really gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous girl who knows she's gorgeous, right? Sometimes she thinks that's all she needs.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I've met, and in social circles, you'll be with some popular people who will sit on their phones and they won't greet you. Mm-hmm. And it's this thing of, no, of course, like, of course you want to bother me. Of course you want to come up and ask for a selfie. And it's like, well, no, that's how you see yourself. Care, but that's not how all of us see you.
And then you get some people who are more gorgeous and act like it ain't no thing.
Like George Michael.
Yeah, like Tracy McGregor is just the most beautiful human in the world, and she's so cool and nice. And then you get people who are 70% as good looking as her, so still very good looking, who are complete and ginormous bitches about it.
Go on, Gord, let's have a name.
And no, I'm not going to name anybody, but I'm saying you get people who are attractive who are huge bitches about it, and then you get people who are more attractive that aren't. And then you get people who were told erroneously by their mother when they were 7 that they're pretty, and then one of their friends also told them they were pretty when they were 12, and now they're arrogant about good looks they don't have. That's my best.
But 2 seconds. Ben, George Michael?
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously like just a beautiful person every single way, but he wasn't a massive dickhead. Why are you laughing, Sam?
it's kind of random. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not just of George. I mean, no, I don't have any problem with George Michael, but that was random as hell.
Hang a second. This is something you do in radio. You have continuity. The other day, we played a clip about the guy from Ibiza who confirmed the guy from Pike's Hotel and said George Michael was the biggest star. We didn't know it.
That guy looked awesome.
I'm trying to make out I've got like some crush on George Michael. Even if I did, so what?
It just was unexpected. It was an unexpected segue.
Here's Vat Bro, just listen to this.
And you guys are gonna add some fucking shit. Do you even know what Vat is, dog?
Oh, that's
business is.
No one fucking cares. Just go. It's all
no one cares.
No one gives a fuck.
You
just
leave. Ask me, why don't you tell me to leave?
It's okay, bro. Just go.
It's not okay, dog.
Yeah, I can feel it.
You know it's not okay.
Why?
Listen.
Why?
Why my dog my best chain of his. You fucking disgusting motherfucker.
Vet bro. I love that. All right. Let's meet someone who's actually doing things in the world and is doing things in an incredible way.
Great segue.
No, it really is. I mean, here you've got this pretender.
And here's a non-doers.
Yeah. I mean, here you've got a pretender. You've got someone who's done probably very little with their lives, but we've got a guy who's coming in to talk to us now who's done an incredible thing. He has taken some aspect of what we consider our cultures and traditions in South Africa that we think are kind of, in some ways, looking backwards. And he's found a way to make them look forward. He's found a way to build something incredible and novel and technologically innovative at a time where some people want to hold on to the older stuff, but they want to do it in their own original way. And this is all part of a series of interviews we're doing with Alpha Code, where there's an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand up for grabs. Now, Ntutu Koshezi is the founder and CEO at Livestock Wealth. He used lessons he learned and the experiences he gained in starting his first business, where he designed and printed t-shirts, to apply for bursaries and finances studies in electrical and mechanical engineering at the University of Cape Town. He saw a gap in the panel beating industry after being in a car accident and turned that into a business opportunity. So listen to this track. T-shirts, then he studies, then he goes into the panel beating industry because he sees a gap here. This is real entrepreneurship. He had a hand in Scratch Mobile, where I remember meeting him for the first time, a first known business of its kind in the world, an auto body repair service that was situated at OR Tambo in Johannesburg, obviously. Sees your car sorted out while you're flying. And Scratch Mobile won the General Motors Best Speed Shop category 2013. He was selected to be a Washington Fellow and participate in the Young African Leaders Initiative in 2014. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to take this even further. And he started something called Livestock Wealth, which is a company that enables people to participate in what he calls crowd farming. Concept's pretty simple. Investors buy a six-month-old calf, which is reared on one of three farms that are leased by Livestock Wealth. The process is fully transparent. Calf prices are established and published every week by Absurd Farmers Weekly. They then have an experienced team which uses technology to better manage each farm. Their team has a combined 70 years of experience in corporate farming and new venture creation. I am blown away by the kind of spirit that makes someone a serial entrepreneur, and one of those people is Ntutuko. It's very nice to see you, dude. What a pleasure to actually have you in the studio for a change. How are you doing, man?
I'm ecstatic of being here and seeing you again.
You remember we met a long time ago?
Yeah, 2007.
That was when you were very busy launching Scratch Mobile, getting that off the ground. Yes. I remember you actually did fix something for me, didn't you?
Yeah, you were driving the black SLK at the time.
That's right, and you fixed a bump in the back fender or something.
Yes.
I said to you, what made you come up with this idea? And you said, look, people are getting onto planes. This is a perfect time for them to have things fixed on their car that we can fix.
Yeah.
But don't have to take forever. I can make money while you're on your trip to Cape Town or Durban or whatever. When you get back, everything's sorted.
Mm. And we did a good job on your car.
More importantly, you're doing a good job with everything.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. Are you happy with where you're at now compared to where you were then? Because you were hustling hard.
I'm still hustling. I'm still hustling. In fact, one thing I remember then in 2007 is that I said to you, Garrett, I'll give you a small discount if you allow me to put your picture on our website as a reference. And then you said yes. And then, yeah, that brought us lots of business. And that did, eh?
Well, you know, I do believe in supporting entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And it's clearly something you have. It's got nothing to do with where you come from or how much education you have or any of that stuff. It's just a spirit some people have. Mm. And you are a salesman through and through. With this idea for Livestock Wealth, I'm curious, like, did it just come to you in a dream? Were you sitting talking to friends? How did this idea arrive on the scene? Because it's really quite clever.
It's a combination of things. I call it a continuous hunch,
mm-hmm.
where there's this one hunch, and then 6 months later, another hunch comes in, and then 12 months later, another one comes in of the same idea. And then eventually, you the idea bugs you so much that you can't help but get sink your feet into it. So with this livestock wealth, it really stems from my growing up in Ndwedwe. Ndwedwe is not far from Kingshaka Airport. Mm. At home, they had a few cows. So my grandmother and grandfather had a few cattle. And I'm told that how my mother got to become a teacher was that they didn't have to go for loans and all these other things because they didn't have any other form of investments. Mm-hmm. The only household bank they had at the time was the household cattle crow. Mm-hmm. So every time in January, my mom had to go back to school, they would just go to the crawl and identify a cow they would sell. And they would sell that cow and kaboom, the school fees would be paid. And then she became a teacher, school principal, was able to take me to better schools. I became an engineer. I think my son should be able to become an astronaut if he wants. So you actually can see how the cow has been central to taking my family from two generations back from poverty all the way to where I am now, where I'm running an international company with international investors and international customers, invoicing in dollars, you know.
I love this. So, Look, first of all, we know in South Africa and in other parts of Africa and even in India, the cow is the centerpiece of the economy because you if you have nothing else, you can either, if it's a milk cow, you can get a constant supply of something that has economic value there, that has nutritional value, that can be fed back into the system.
Sure.
But you also have an article that you can sell at the market.
Absolutely.
And that can produce more of those. You know, it's a sustainable resource. And in some ways, that's a much better system, certainly in small communities, than many of the other systems developed by human beings for commerce. But in South Africa, it also carries a traditional and customary value, which I think for some people is deep in the genes.
Absolutely.
So it matters massively to people. It is something that people are attached to in a way that they're not attached to just paper money.
Mm.
Mm. So it gives you a feeling of real self-worth, esteem.
Absolutely.
Praise and praiseworthiness in a community. And for you to have found a way to take that, which is a very old, very kind of ancestral thing, and to build it into a 21st century product.
Mm.
That's quite clever.
Thank you. In fact, that's really what's the engine behind Livestock Wealth, to say Africa used to have a proper functional financial system due to our history that got disturbed. So we then say... So
you're right, you can say it, the white man.
No, I've learned the art of diplomacy.
Go on.
Yes. So we then have to say, let's take what used to work back in the day, which was people owning cattle and their wealth growing through ownership of cattle. Let's take that within the constraints that we have of limited land. Let's make it work for people who are urbanized, who don't have the skills of farming.
Yeah, they don't have space to keep a cow.
No space to keep cows, but they still have that emotional connection to the cows and the land. Livestock really was born out of that, to say, if I'm in Joburg today and I want to keep cattle, I have to find an uncle who owns a farm, and I buy a few cows from him and he keeps them for me.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone has got that uncle. So Livestock Wealth, essentially our platform becomes the uncle for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joshua Doe, you've got an uncle in the cattle farming business. that's really us. That's what our platform does.
What are the cattle? Is cattle price a lot less volatile than the Bitcoin price?
Cattle price is very, 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 it's very predictable. It's really, really extremely predictable. Even though it's always on an upward trend, it's always like if you look at cattle prices from what you could pay in 2015 to buy a cow, compared to today, it's more than doubled.
Oh, really?
In the space of 3 years, you know, because we had the drought and then the prices shot up after the drought when farmers are trying to restock their farms.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's really predictable. It's not like tomorrow morning it's going to be this one thing, then the next day.
It sounds like a good rate of return.
Yeah,
a hell of a lot better than some stocks and shares.
Absolutely. We sought to really touch on that nerve of saying, most people don't understand stocks and shares, or some even those who understand them want to have something else different, something that does not depend on geopolitical events. Mm. So if Donald Trump becomes president, if you own cows, that doesn't affect you at all, because the cows are still eating grass, getting pregnant, and making babies and growing in value and size. Even if Zuma is ousted from power, Cyril Ramaphosa comes in, if there's a faction of this, a faction of that,
the cow retains its value.
The cow retains its value. So it's a really good alternative for people with lots of assets and saying, okay, I want to have like 5% of my worth in cattle, which is really what we've developed.
So how many cattle are you allowed to own? As many as you like?
Yeah. You can own as many as you can. Like
I can tell Ben and Sia are interested in buying. Can you buy a portion of a cow, or do you have to buy one whole calf?
Yeah, you can. You can buy a portion, which is a quarter, okay. A portion of a calf, and then that's like $2,000. So really, for $2,000, you can get.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. And you update these prices all the time.
Yes, so we try and keep them as pretty static as okay. possible, so that maybe have an increase once a month or once every 2 months, so we can really balance out the system we've created.
I love this. How many people are involved in at the moment? How many people?
We have about 800 investors.
That's great.
Who own close to 1,600 cows.
Wow.
So this is since 2015, when we started off with only 26 cows. And we've grown to 26 cows. Four farms now. More farmers are really coming on board and saying, we want to work with you guys. In our farms, can we have maybe 10 or 20 cows belonging to your investors?
Yeah.
So lots more farmers are coming and approaching us and partnering with us in that way.
Have you got old school white farmers who want to be part of this?
Yeah. We do. I think they're also realizing that, you know, that this idea has got legs. Excuse the pun.
And the market has changed.
Yeah,
you're not exactly. going to go to an agricultural show and buy cattle like you used to in the old days. You want to hop on an app.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in this case, if an old white farmer chooses to become an uncle to one of our investors, really, they benefit that they could, if they've got cows they wanted to sell to raise money, they don't have to sell them outside of their farm. Mm-hmm. They could sell them to someone and still keep them on their farm
right.
and have and then get paid for looking after them.
Now how does
with an option to buy them back at some point when they want them back.
Okay, so in other words, you can buy and sell like you would shares at any time.
Exactly. Yeah.
What happens if one of the cows die?
We've created an insurance for that.
Oh.
So everyone, as part of the 10 rand a day maintenance fee, that includes the rental of the farm, heading, medicine, and insurance in case of death.
10 rand a day?
Just only.
I mean, it's expensive. You can't get a cow for free.
That's like cheaper than maintaining a dog.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, that could account for the doubling in value that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because obviously you're paying a lot of money to keep the cow alive and well.
But it gives you money.
No, sure.
It gives you money.
No, of course.
Which we've done the maths. In terms of rate of return, it comes to between 11 and 13%.
So are we growing new expertise here as well? I mean, are people learning about the different kinds of cattle, and some are more expensive than others?
Sure. So in fact, We've tried to simplify it as much as possible, and the good thing probably which I could announce here on the show is that in the next few weeks, if you're going to this famous store with a W sign,
Woolworths.
Yes,
you can say what you want here.
Yeah, at buying free range beef.
Uh huh.
In the next 2 weeks, we're going to be starting supplying.
Oh,
Woolies
wow.
with free range.
Wow. Yeah. That's extraordinary. Well done. I mean, could you have imagined this sort of success when you started?
Didn't at all.
No.
Because free range beef is expensive to raise because it needs funding.
Mm.
So if Garrett owns a free range cow that's growing on our farm, he's helping the nation eats better. We're not saying people must eat more beef, but they must eat good quality beef, which is really full of nutrients, no growth hormones, no antibiotics.
And where that animal's raised properly, exactly. Where you know, there's no cruelty, it's got space to live, it can grow, the meat is better Absolutely. Quality if the animal isn't stressed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I got you. Is Scratch Mobile still going?
Scratch Mobile is going strong.
Is it?
It's going strong. My wife runs it now. So she's doing a better job than me, I think.
Wow. Yeah. How many businesses have you got right now?
Two.
Just those
two? Yeah, just those two. So I'm really ultra focused on livestock wealth to really deliver value for our investors and on this. Because I think that it's got really a great opportunity to grow beyond the borders of SA.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Take this to Zambia and Zimbabwe exactly. and all over yeah. the place.
And there's a need there, you know. So if we can go to Zambia, Zimbabwe and organize agriculture in a profitable way and access and get people to have access to proper markets and get funding for good quality farming, I think that will be a life well lived.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. And along the way, you'll make some decent profits.
Yes.
Now, how has Alpha Code been involved in your journey?
So AlphaCode is a arm of Rand Merchant Investments who gave the first batch of funding to Adrian Goh when he was starting
right.
Discovery and also Outsurance. So they're really always on the lookout for really good, innovative financial services ideas and entrepreneurs. And in 2016, I was selected to be part of their program. Which came with us winning R500,000 in prize money in a pitch competition that we entered.
Yeah.
So the whole of 2016, we were stationed right at Two Merchant Place.
Yeah, in the heart of Sandton.
In the heart of Sandton, with the stock exchange right in front of me.
The stock exchange and you're actually trading cows.
Absolutely, you know, the original stock exchange, you know. And the bigger picture is that once the company has really been guided through the various stages of growth, that it could make it ready for investment by the bigger RMI company, which then funds this which will then give us funding to accelerate and really grow way bigger.
And along the way, did they introduce you to people who could give you advice and people who you could bounce ideas off of?
Absolutely, absolutely. The good thing is that you get access to their network of people. So when we were exploring insurance, we had access to their insurance people. When we were doing some ROI returns and things, we had access to some of their actuaries who were helping us to really commercialize and be able to communicate the rate of return in numbers that the general public or the investment public can understand. So that is really the the beauty of it. And we're looking at in the near future, just like you can go to the bank and do a fixed deposit payment, you should be able to go to the same bank teller and say, I want to buy a car. So those are some of the discussions we're pushing to really make it totally accessible to the general public.
Well, there it is. With an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand with Alpha Code, they're inviting applications to their prestigious Alpha Code Incubate program that seeks to identify and reward high potential innovative entrepreneurs like Ndutuko and could be you. Boost the development of fintech and financial services in South Africa. There are 16 businesses. Be invited to pitch for 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. The final 8 businesses, by the way, if you get selected and your business goes into the final 8, they will complete a customized 12-month program and will benefit from entrepreneurial packages worth 2 million rand each. The first round of applications closes soon on the 7th of September, and the program will begin on the 1st of November 2018. If you want to go and find out how to enter and see the list of entries, there's a link. You can go to cliffcentral.com and you'll find it all on our main page. Alpha Code has been a part of the livestock wealth journey. And Ndutuko, it's very good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you see, you meet entrepreneurs in all kinds of unexpected places. You will identify them because they are evangelists for what they're doing.
Absolutely.
You knew what you were doing with Scratch Mobile. You know what you're doing with livestock wealth. Congratulations. I'm very, very impressed with your success, and I hope you have much more.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wow.
And hopefully you're going to be an owner of a cow this year.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. It's such a good idea.
You have to own cattle. It's the coolest thing. You can't not own.
Sounds like a safer investment than cryptocurrency, which I'm...
Much safer.
God, I'm annoyed about. 10 times. Oh, my God. Yeah. What a stupid thing to have invested in. Anyway, let's... get to the unnews. Oh, by the way, before we get to unnews, if you haven't already made a note and downloaded the whole series, you can take a look at our new podcast series, which is called Man to Man Talks, brought to you by Carling Black Label. Drink responsibly. It's not for sale to persons under the age of 18. The guys, Craig Wilkinson, Khalil Osiris, they talk about masculinity and what a great gift it is to the world. How men and women can get along better. It provides profound insights into why men behave the way they do and unpacks the three core desires at the heart of every man. Go and take a listen to Man to Man. It's all on cliffcentral.com. You have a lot of stuff to catch up on the website, so don't waste any time. All right, here's the unnews. Theresa May is dancing up a storm from visit to visit and says she will pledge billions in trade between South Africa and the UK. Helen Ziller is feeling a little put out by the limelight that's so focused on the Prime Minister of Great Britain, so she's challenged her to a dance-off to bring her down a peg or two. That will be taking place tonight at 10 p.m. Aces and spades if you want to get involved. The EFF are racking up the press conferences at the moment. It seems like a daily occurrence where they gather media together to complain about whites and other non-events. Though it's a bore to the public, media houses are enjoying them because they now always have something to send their interns to. And finally, SARU have just recorded a large net loss and are letting everybody know about it. They said they lost a packet over getting the Kings and Cheetahs into the Pro 14, and then they lost the 2023 World Cup bid. They said things are so bad right now that they may only be able to pay Rassie Erasmus for 17 of his different roles, not the original 37 that he was appointed for. We shall see you tomorrow morning. CliffCentral.com.